Praise God. If your Bible, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 to 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 to 17. Thank you, musician. Thank you, Genevieve, for a wonderful time of praise and worship. I think it is very good to really worship God. I enjoyed the worship recently and I think it is good. Okay, last week Mike was very good. Okay, this week was equally good. I think we need to come to the house of God and just worship God. Okay, that is the way of the Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 to 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 to 17. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What? Know you not that you are the temple of God? That the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Father, honor this message right now. In Jesus' name I pray. I'm going to title my message this morning, End Time Values. End Time Values. Okay, I pray that now we are able to see what is the real attendance of our church, okay? Let's bring people, let's fear out all the spaces, okay? Let's fear out all the spaces for our congregation. End Time Values is a deep and very important question. The biblical understanding of end time values is about how God expects us to live and think as the end draws near. Our decision should be guided by what lasts forever. How we live should be guided by what lasts forever, not what fades away. I mean, the end time is not just about prophecy or signs, which we will see prophecies, we will see signs, because Elijah and Moses will come back and many evangelists and prophets will be raised by God at end time, and we are going to witness a lot of signs and wonders. But it is also about values. I'm talking about personal life, attitudes, priorities in life that marks faithful believers in the last days. You know, a prominent pastor, very prominent, shared this honest confession. He said, I confess to you that it has taken me years to live only for eternal values. I agree, when I think back of the time and money I wasted trying to build something tangible for God. I wanted something people could see. How important I thought those buildings were to God's kingdom. I convinced myself God deserved the best. He does not. He does. God does deserve the best, but not in bricks, mortars, or steel. He deserves the best of our time for Him and our obedience and yieldedness to Him. Thank God, he said, continue. For the day the Spirit revealed to me how shallow my values were. He said, I spent 20 years, building programs, building buildings, running all over the world, conducting conferences, trying to show God how important to His kingdom I was. All the while, my reputation grew as a minister of faith and vision. Yet, after each project, I felt a letdown. No sooner than one building was finished, that I was ready planning another. I was an idea man for God. I had more ideas than any preachers in America. Ideas how to evangelize, how to have New Testament programs. The programs and ideas were successful enough to trap me into the cycle, the treadmill of busyness. But yet, while doing all these things, he said, my heart yearned for more. Something is missing. I knew the blessing was not in building, not in some well-planned schemes to reach the lost, not in bigness, not in activities. I discovered the hard way that the glory of God and the peace and the joy of the Spirit was being stripped down, emptied and made totally weak. God has to expose all my values. He turned His flaming eyes on my souls and showed me I had better reject my old ways of doing things or be lost in a maze of self-imposed activities. I mean, this preacher's experience, you know, really reminded me, when I was reading his story, really reminded me of a person in the Bible. And that is King Solomon's experience. In the end, King Solomon, after having done all things, enjoyed all things, achieved all things, improved all things for his country, he said this: "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Same to you. Fear God. Keep His commandment." How to live? Fear God. Keep His commandment. For this is your duty. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work of yours into judgment. Every secret things. Whether it be good or whether it be evil. Definitely, I cannot compare myself with this preacher and King Solomon. Okay, there's no way. But I will say to you that this is also true of my own life. God has to strip me down, empty me, make me totally weak. God has to expose all my values, causing me to be totally dependent on God. Yes, the thing that God caused to come upon my life was to force me and to force you to be totally dependent on God. I'm not saying today, okay, that you stop everything. You just wait for Christ's return. There are people that they sell off everything, go to the village and wait for Christ to return. No, you still have to study hard. Students, you still have to work hard in your career. Because the Bible says, if you do not work, you do not eat. So don't say, oh, I don't do anything. God expects you to work hard so that you should eat. Execute your business with competency. Manage your family with the ways of God. And have visions for your future, for visions for your company, visions for your life. Yes, these are all this. But at the end of the day, you must remember this. You must always remember that you are first and foremost a child of God. You are a child of God. So everything you do them with eternity in view. I think God is doing a secret works in our day. He's making people to grow more and more dissatisfied with the fleshly, worldly system as it is full bloom today. We are disillusioned people. We are very disillusioned people. You know, when Pastor Lily was talking to many people, I realized that we because of the things in our life, we are so disillusioned. We are disillusioned with our life. We are disillusioned with our future. We are disillusioned with our family. And we are always searching for reality. Yes, we want the real thing. Do we say this is not it? We want something more. There's something. There is a vacuum in our heart. And only God can fulfill that vacuum in your heart. We tried entertainment. We tried more big buildings. We continue to be dissatisfied. We want something that is real. We want the real thing. But deep down, we actually wanted God. Because nobody can fill the void and the gap in your heart except Jesus. We want to go back to do things on dependence of God. We are crying out for more depths, more eternal, more things, more eternal values for things from the pulpit. Let's be honest, we want the real thing. Okay, we want the real thing. No, in 1969, the song Coca-Cola, it's a real thing, swept over the whole world. It was the most famous advertising jingles in history. Then 2 years later, 1971, it was followed by another song. I like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. I like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. You remember? These two songs, it swept over the whole world. Okay? Both songs wants the real thing. And the perfect harmony, the peace in the world. We want the real. Who don't want peace in the world? Let's hear the excerpt of these songs, okay? It's a real thing. That's the way it should be. What the world wants to see.
What we all want to see is the real thing. It's the real thing. Because human wants the real thing. I want to tell you something. Only God can feel the real thing. Only God can feel the real thing. You know Warren Buffett, he's such a brilliant guy. He saw the song. He saw Coca-Cola. He saw the human heart. He invested $1.3 billion in Coca-Cola. Today it's worth $25 billion. Oh, you do not know Berkshire Hathaway? Warren Buffett, is one of the most powerful company. They are more of a finance company, a wealth management fund company. And he earned $25 billion from that one. He saw the heart, he saw the human heart, that the human heart really want the real thing. Of course, Coca-Cola is not the real thing. It's not the real thing. Okay? But it exposed the cry of our heart. As I said, there is a vacuum in our life. And I want to tell you, the vacuum can only be filled by God. I never forget this lady. She was almost murdered, but she didn't die. And she wanted to have a man in her life. And she tried her best, but in the end, she came to a point where God revealed to him, I am your husband. And she broke down and cried. She realized that the only person that can really satisfy her is Jesus, is God. You know, let's be honest, people of God. Are you satisfied with the religious system? Are you satisfied with the government? Are you satisfied with politics? Are you satisfied with the senators? Are you satisfied with the representatives? Huh? Someone say, Pastor, it's such a toxic environment in the Senate. I mean, you look at the Diskaya. You look at Romodes. I don't care, he's far away. Look at him. You know, it is so toxic. We are so dissatisfied. We are so dissatisfied. And we went demonstrate, but they won't change. Am I correct? They won't change. How we demonstrate? And they make the thing so confusing until we don't know who is right, who is wrong. We are very dissatisfied. I was dissatisfied. When I went to visit the churches, 10 churches in Singapore in the 2 months when I was back in Singapore last year, I was not satisfied. To be very honest, most are not getting their needs. Man, I'm not even satisfied in this church. Most of you are not getting your needs met. I believe that we have gotten off the track of true spirituality. What I discovered is a spiritual leanness in the church. There's a spiritual leanness in the church. Why? It's the direct result of people getting into the flesh, into the worldly system, into the worldly values, into the worldly methods, and becoming perverted, becoming so perverted in our ways. Do you know that you can become a Christian, yet you can get into so much of the values of this world that you can become so perverted in your ways? There's a Christian that was once our member. He passed his board exam, in his architectural board exam. But he left, and his ways became so perverted, that he's worse than unbeliever. He coveted his relative's land, and he put it as his own land, and turned it into a resort. Of course, the relative had to sue him. But he doesn't feel guilty at all. How did he become so perverted? How can a person that is in the house of God become so greedy, so evil, and snatch people's property until this way? I want to tell you, it can also happen to us when we get away from God. If you get away from God for 5 years, if you get away from God for 10 years, if you get away from God for 20 years, let me tell you something, you are no more the same. You are no more the same. What should we take note of in this end time? Number one, foundation. Foundation. The foundation of your life. And the church cannot be laid on any other things. I hope that Pastor Carlos would remember this. The foundation of this church cannot be laid on any other things except Jesus Christ. So you have to build on the right foundation, Jesus Christ. Foundation is very important, okay?
Foundation is very important. I think the best example is the earthquake in Cebu and Davao. They are the best example. Every lasting buildings depends on a strong foundation. A skyscraper. A bridge to fly over in Pavia and Santa Barbara. When it was open, the bridge wobble when cars go over. The house, if the foundation is weak, everything above will eventually collapse. The best example is the 30-story building that was about to be completed in Thailand. I want you to watch this video.
Can up.
Thank you. 30 story. The earthquake was in Burma. But Burma has no 30 story building. That was in Bangkok. Okay? You know, investigator say substandard materials were reported initially. The steel reinforcement were to be of lower quality than ideal. Concrete also found to be below standard in the test. So if your life is built on a foundation, you look growing like that tall building. If your foundation is built on Jesus, it will last. But if your foundation is based on human wisdom, I'm smarter than anybody. If you think you're smarter than anybody, human wisdom. You look at Buddhism, it teaches the human wisdom of godly living. I mean, it talks about self-denial. I mean, I want to tell you something. The Eightfold Path of Buddhism, which I read, is very, very good. But there's one problem. There's no God. It left out God. So if your foundation is built on human wisdom, if your foundation is built on personality, we are all looking for Superman. Oh, LeBron James, we want to go for him. Oh, Formula One, we want to go for him. Oh, we love this president. Oh, we love Marcos. We love him so much. Then now we see, oh, it's not so much we love him anymore. Oh, Duterte, I want to tell you, if your foundation is built on the personality, the Superman, the coming Antichrist, you will crumble. You will crumble. If your foundation is built on worldly success, you look at the statue of that Daniel saw in the vision. Made of top was gold, riches. If your foundation is built on riches, gold. Now gold is very, very expensive. Because of the problem, now gold has shot up to $5,000 per ounce. Built on silver, the chest, the lower quality. Maybe we are the middle class people, What happened to that statue? If your foundation is built on that, you will crumble also. You will crumble in the end. It cannot last. You know, Daniel in the Bible lived in the most difficult time in history. He was so wise. You want to talk about wisdom? Daniel was so wise. He was so wise that kings consulted him and kings revered him. Who is wiser than Daniel? Who is busier than Daniel? He has to handle state affairs. He has to handle state, the unpredictable Nebuchadnezzar. He has to handle the multitudes, the people that topple him. He is busy. Look at Zelensky. Pastor Lily always say that. He has aged so fast in these 3 years. Because he has to handle state affairs. Pastor Lee said, he ate so much just in the span of these 3 years. I look at my prime minister. He was young, but now just a few months or year into the prime ministership, he has aged overnight. You talk about state affairs. Daniel was like that. He has to handle state affairs. Unpredictable Nebuchadnezzar. The multitudes of enemies that try to topple him. But yet, you know what? When he went home after work, he will open his window and pray to God. He will just walk home, open the window, and pray to God. That is foundation. That is foundation. It was all God to him. Even as a prime minister of the Babylonian Empire. His attitude was such that, after everything, I'm totally dependent on God. That's his attitude. If you go and achieve your riches without God in your mind, I tell you, you will come out this illusion one day. You look at Joseph. I mean, Joseph was such a great administrator and a manager that he saved not only the whole nation of Israel, but he saved the empire of Egypt. The worldly empire. That's why when the Christians are good, the unbeliever also experience the protection. I mean, God has been good to us for this 13 years since we moved in. No typhoon destroy our place. How do you know? Because God wants to protect Ilolo City, and God protect the whole city. He saved not only the whole nation of Israel, he saved the whole empire of the Egyptian countries. But you know what? His attitude was this. It was God who planned everything. He was God who planned everything, he said. Foundation. Foundation. The same is true of our life. I want to ask you, you think you're smarter than Daniel? You think you're smarter than Joseph? Yet both understood in their heart, their mind and their being, that it was all God. It was all God. The same is true in your life. People build their lives on career, on money, on relationship, on success. And when the storm comes, those things crumble. There is only one unshakable foundation, and that is Jesus Christ. Very simple message. Jesus Christ is not you beating him on Sunday. Oh, Sunday, I start to remember Jesus. Jesus Christ has to be in your school, in your workplace, in your home, in your relationship. Jesus Christ has to be with you in whatever you are doing in your life. Every day of your life. I remember that I was working during the COVID in Singapore. It was difficult. It was very difficult. Okay, Jesus in my working life. I faced a very difficult boss. I tell you, his temper was very high. And he will shout at people and scold people. And I was accused of something I did not do. They even made a police report about the incident. I was very hurt and very, very angry. And the boss continued to give me trouble. And one day, I felt the pressure, and I was driving. I was given some task and I was driving away from the workplace. I just said to God, in the car, full of tears, full of settlement score with God. I said, God, I want to settle a score with you. You cannot do this to me. I said, God, I had a real cry, a real conversation with God. I said, God, are you really with me? I said, are you really with me? I said, are you really with me, God? And I was driving, I was crying. I said, are you really with me? That you should be your way. You know what happened after that? God heard. From that day onward, I started to do well. I started to excel. I learned the system and came up top. The boss that was difficult to work with, in the end, when I was leaving him, he said that, thank you, we cherish you. If you ever want to come back again, you are very welcome to come back and work with us again. My whole being was God. Foundation. Foundation.
Paul say, no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul said, there's no other foundation that will last. Even religion. I mean, 80% of the countries are Catholic. Okay? Religion. Philosophy. Even good works. Even good works. Community works. Popularity. Are all just sinking sand. Talking about good works. You know, the NUS group of nurses, they wanted to come to Iloilo City next year. I consulted Pastor Carlos, and Pastor Carlos actually was very unwilling. Okay, so I wanted to cancel it. But later, he came into my office and said, Pastor, after much consideration, I agreed to work with them, provided they open a station during the medical mission, which is good works. Good works only for us the opportunity to give pamphlets or to share the gospel. I said, okay, let me talk to the leaders of the NAS group. And the leaders, one of them was a Muslim. One of them was a Muslim. So the leaders readily agreed. And another said, I'm a Christian also. She said, I'm a Christian. That is foundation. That is foundation. You cannot just do good works. The gospel must, I mean, you had your community essential commission. What is your aim? Share the gospel, am I correct? Yes, you distribute the good works of grocery or whatever it is, but at the end of the day, it is Jesus. Paul lists two categories of material. Gold, silver, precious stone are durable and tested by fire. Wood, hay, straw are temporary, will burn. They represent the quality of a person's life and his ministry. Those who build faithfully, take note, I use the word faithfully, not overnight. You build over 5 years. You build your foundation over 10 years. You build your foundation over 20 years. You build faithfully over the years. Teaching truth. Applying truth in your life. Living truth in your life and in your family. Walking in the ways of God in your life, in your family. Serving others. Loving others. You will receive a heavenly reward. You receive your crown, your honor, and responsibility in God's kingdom. But some will see their life work gone. I want to tell you something. You cannot bring anything to heaven except souls. Do you know that? You cannot bring a single, you cannot even bring a single shirt to heaven. You cannot bring a shoe. You cannot bring a Rolex watch. You cannot bring your car. You cannot. They are just accessory for you in your life to achieve your goal in total dependence upon God. That's why Job said, naked I come, naked I will go back. Job said that. But there's something that you can bring back to heaven. Souls. 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 Some believers will see their life work gone. I want to tell you something. Your life work will be gone. And some of them will be burned because there's no lasting eternal value. Number two, remembers Jesus' eyes as a flame of fire. You know, John is very close to Jesus. John the Beloved, he liked to lay his head on the bosom of Jesus. That's why you have the picture of John, the 12 disciples, okay, on the Lord's Supper. John always laying his head on the bosom of Jesus. Because Jesus was like his big brother. And Jesus was very nice, very loving. Jesus was very, very fatherly. And John liked to come to him. John was the youngest. I don't know, John was most likely 20-something years old. And John would just go to him, and he's not afraid of Jesus, because he knows that Jesus is very kind, is very gentle and very loving, and he will go to him. But after Jesus died, and he continued doing the work of God, and at the age of 92 years old, John the Beloved saw Jesus one more time at the house of Patmos at the age of 92. But this time, he saw the same Jesus, but this time was different. What did Revelation 1:14 say? His head and his hair were white like wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes as a flame of fire. The first Jesus to us also represents grace and mercy on the entire life on earth. Listen carefully. The first Jesus
represents grace and mercy on our entire life on earth. I mean, we live, we make mistakes, and I see the tremendous grace and mercy of God towards us, towards our family, towards and forgiveness towards what we have done. The first Jesus was that way. But the second Jesus represents the judge, ready to pronounce judgment. John goes on to say, I fell at his feet dead. The glory of Jesus was so strong that he just collapsed. His eyes represent penetrating visions and judgment. Fire in the scripture symbolizes purity and judgment. His gaze, like a flame of fire, he sees every mask. He sees every pretense. He sees every lies. He searches every heart. And nothing is hidden from him. No motive is hidden. His eyes reminds us that he sees everything, ready to expose sin before it destroys you. The eyes are called the windows into our soul. The eyes see into the windows of our soul. He saw fires of eyes of fire. These are not just anger only. They are perfect knowledge. In end time values, believers need to leave this awareness that Jesus' fiery eyes is upon us. Nothing is hidden. It is better for you to confess your sin when you are still alive on the earth than to go to heaven without confessing your sin. I want to tell you now. His gaze penetrates the surfaces and enter into the windows of soul. Let's ask ourselves, can we stand that piercing eyes? Can we? The most important end time values are, what are you doing in God's kingdom? Yeah. What are you doing in God's kingdom? That's why we want you to get involved. I mean, I look at Marco. He did a good job. He turned the whole music ministry around. Look at Jack. Okay, also making sure that everything is fine when we run the thing. You think that, oh, I'm just doing it. No, I just enjoy it. No. You are doing something for the kingdom of God. You are doing something for the kingdom of God. You know, I have this observation. God can assist you in the desires of a heart. I say again, God can assist you in the desires of your heart, but God will send leanness to your soul. This is what the children of Israel experienced. They complained, they are tired of eating manna. They wanted meat, so God gave them meat. Gave them what they wanted. So he sent quails in abundance, so much that it became nauseating. Quails make them fat, but quails make their soul thin. The thinness of their soul became theirs. Even though they received what they craved, their soul became lean, empty, unsatisfied, spiritually dry. They got what they wanted. They got what they wanted. You can get what you wanted and God can give it to you. But you can come away lean, empty, dissatisfied. You will lose what you really need. You want riches. You want a boyfriend that meets all your criteria. You will come away lean, empty, dissatisfied, unhappy, and worse, become spiritually dry. You want a job in the States, but you lost your soul in the States. Pastor, are you sure? Psalms 105:15 say, he gave them their request. He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They finally got what they wanted, but they experienced leanness of soul. It is a loss of spiritual vitality. A dryness of the heart, and they stick there and they are stuck in the dryness of their heart for so many years. No joy, no peace. It is when God, in His mercy, allow you to have your earthly desires, but not His heavenly presence. You have success. You make more money. You have comfort. You have pleasure. But deep down, you will always feel empty. You always feel restless. You always feel that you are very, very far away from God. It is as if God is saying, if you insist on having your way, I will give it. But you will see that it cannot satisfy your soul. The principle is permissive will. God will give you the permissive will, not His perfect will. It's not that He's cruel to show you the emptiness of our own desires apart from God. This includes
The church you choose. I say again, this includes the church you choose. There's a church that is in God's perfect will. There's a church that is in God's permissive will. Very simple. Which is which? The perfect will bring you into a lively, living relationship with God. The other church will bring you dryness, not involved, empty and lost. I confess, I want a big church. I want a big building. And I thank God sincerely that He did not give it. Grant me the desires of my heart. Because I think I will come out as a monster in God's sight. I can even lose my soul. No one can correct me, no one can teach me. And I sincerely thank God for giving Pastor Lily and I this church. Our soul is intact. Our relationship with Him every day is intact. God is still guiding us. Is God guiding you? God is still protecting us. Is God protecting? God is still speaking into our heart. I think the best is I'm having a living relationship with Him. He's letting me sense the Spirit. Like today we come to the house of God, we sense His Spirit. And He's saying to this generation, I want you to touch this generation. I see now that all along God is waiting for me to lay down all my plan, all my ambition, and to be given over to Him as a chosen servant of God. At the end of the day, at the age of 64, God is teaching me to be totally dependent on Him. Totally dependent on Him. When we are going back to Singapore in 2006, I know that Pastor Lin and I, we will be totally dependent upon God on what lies ahead for our life. Lastly, number three, the final shaking. Hebrews 12:26-27 say, whose voice then shook the earth, but now He has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. Now this yet once more indicate the removal of those things that have been shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. The voice yet once, the voice refers to God's voice when giving the law to Israel. Today, the voice is given, God has given us a voice of the law of living. God has given us the law of living in the Word of God. Yet once more means God will intervene in the world events to overthrow kingdom and establish His glory. God shaking say it will not be just physical, the earthly, but also spiritual, the heavenly. That means bringing you back to spirituality. The real meaning is that God will remove everything that is temporary, man-made, corruptible. What cannot be, you ask, what cannot be shaken, God, in this world? I want to tell you, when you lose everything, don't say it's not possible. You look at the people in Ukraine. You look at the people in Hamas. You look at them, they lost everything. The house they built is gone. Recently, Israel said, okay, we are going to move back to the border of Gaza. 200,000 Palestinians walk to northern Gaza to their home. And all the buildings that they see, everything is gone. Some got to dig into the rubbles and find their little shirt. When everything is gone in our lives, don't say it cannot happen. When everything is gone in your life, you think about it, can you survive that? What cannot be shaken? God Himself. God is there. If God is there, God is enough. His Word. The Word of God will remain in verse. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not even a dot or a comma, an iota of it can be removed. His kingdom. There is a coming kingdom. Nobody can stop it. Your faith. Where is your faith now? Your faith when anchored in Jesus. Do you know that when you go to heaven, the faith that you have right now will go with you to heaven. And that faith will be the one to empower you to visualize what you want to do in the heavenly world. The faith to conquer this thing, the faith to do this, the faith to that. The faith will remain with you. Where is your faith? How big is your faith? These are the four things that will not be shaken. God, the Word, the kingdom, your faith. The spiritual implication is a warning and a comfort. God will expose and remove everything that is not founded on Him. Yeah, God will remove. Human strength, values will all fall.
But those who life who is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ will stand firm no matter how great the shaking is. You know, when the earthquake came in Cebu, 6.9 Richter scale in Bogor, off the coast, Pastor Eunice called Pastor Lily. Pastor Lily, how are you? Pastor Lily said, we are fine. We felt the shaking. Then in Davao, the 7.4 earthquake came. 1 week later, magnitude scale. Pastor Susan Chu said, Pastor Lily, how are you? Pastor Lily said, we are fine. We felt the earthquake. But Iloilo City stands. Similarly, when God shakes the physical world, its economy, the world event, we will feel the tremor. But we will stand. We will stand. You felt the tremor. I want to tell you something, not boasting. The reason why God protect us, this city, was because many of you serve God properly. God will not allow, like Abraham, he was so small, God will not allow anybody touch Abraham. God will not allow any disasters to touch. I mean, last night we came, orange, the sound on my phone just keep on ringing. Of rain, heavy rain. We come here, we still can have our service. Is it normal? No. You say, Pastor, how this should? The Bible said, they were covered by a cloud. They were covered by a cloud and a pillar of fire. What will happen when God begins to shake everything? Take stock of your life. God says in Malachi, I will purge the sons of Levi. Some of you are not living correctly with God, and God will purge you. Who are the Levites? They are the Christian. We are the Levites. We become corrupt and careless. So God got to come in and remove your sin, remove your hypocrisy, remove your greed, so that once again you can serve Him rightly. How does He purge? He let trials, He let correction, He let conviction to remove the pride and unbelief. Pastor, are you sure there's such a thing as a shaking? I read to you. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, so then everyone shall give an account of himself to God. Romans. Then Romans 13. The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Then no foundation can any man lay than that which is laid in Jesus Christ. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man works abide, which shall build thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man works burn, he shall suffer loss. Yet so, as by fire. Conclusion. It is very sad. Every one of us, we live with no eternity in view. We build our foundation. We are so influenced by the world, it built on our foundation on everything except on Jesus. We forgot Jesus' piercing eye sees everything. And definitely we are not ready when the final shaking is coming upon us. But God sent Jesus 2,000 years ago. His foundation, Jesus' foundation, was always on God. And he said, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe. He said, I can do nothing. His foundation is on God. I can do nothing but only the will of God. He said, what God told me to do, I say. What God tell me to say, I say. He understood the final shaking when he prophesied on the temple. Not a single stone here will be left on another. The fallen temple is a representation of what will happen to the world soon. Not a single stone will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. Don't say no. Please don't say no. Yet, having lived his foundation, his whole life was shaken up. He was forgotten by God. The earth shook and he breathed his last breath. When the foundation shook, he died. When the foundation shook, he died. He breathed his last breath. Why? So that when Jesus is resurrected, He not only pay for your sin, but He say today, you can pull through. Because He said, I am the firm foundation. You just place your faith in God because Jesus has died on the cross of Calvary. Your sin has been forgiven. You just place your foundation, and Jesus said, I am the firm foundation. And if you place your firm foundation on Jesus, you will not be shaken. You will not be shaken. In fact, you will do exploit for the kingdom of God. The Bible says 1,000 will fall on your right side, 10,000 will fall on your left side, but you will not perish. You will not perish. I mean, I look at COVID in Singapore, Pastor Lee and I, we did not perish. We did not perish. The church did not perish because of the COVID. We did not perish. Why? Because we built our life on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. Musician, can you come? Can we close our eyes? Brothers and sisters, I want to ask you honestly, what is your foundation? Is Jesus with you only on Sunday? Or Jesus is every day of your life? You know, there was a sister, she was very cute. She gave the wrong medicine to the dog, her puppy, and she loved the puppy very much. And after giving the human medicine to the dog started to drowse and almost died with the tongues coming out. She laid her hand on the puppy. It's part of her life. Her foundation is Jesus. Jesus is inside with her. And the puppy survived. I do not know where is your foundation. Are you doing everything on your own strength? Are you making any decision? Or you're going to make decision? Is it the foundation of Jesus? No, I'm asking you right now. There was a sister, Pastor Lily, she said she wants to go to the States and do some singing. Pastor Lily said, this is not the will of God for you. You will perish there. She agreed and she stayed on. She stayed on. Where's your foundation? If today you are bound, like Pastor Lily prophesies that, you are like Lazarus. You are bound by the clothes, and the clothes are the worldly desires, the pressure, and you are bound by the system of this world. God wants to break you free. God wants to break you free and set you free that you can live in the living relationship with Jesus Christ. Shall we all stand up? If God speaks to your heart, I want you to come and say, God, you are my foundation. You are my foundation, and I live on you. As we sing, as we sing. Come, as we sing.